Now I'm getting hiss from somewhere.
Geez, I wonder what wonder who's using the biggest piece of shit machine that might be causing hiss.
No, it could be.
That's
me.
A tough one.
It could be. Hang on, let me go turn off the refrigerator, the beerator.
Yeah, I am hearing a lot of background noise from something.
Yeah, it's not me. I just turned my mic down. It's not real bad, but there's a little bit of a... It sounds like a fan noise.
You want me to hang up and call me back?
No. If you go to your conversation window, there's a mute key on the microphone. If you click on it, it mutes it temporarily.
All right, so that's what I'll do. Let me just minimize this screen, get back over here, move this over yonder way so I can get to it. There is my mute button.
Testing.
That's 1, 2, 3.
Is it?
All right, I'm going to mute right now.
Okay, testing. 1, 2, 3. Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
All right. It's Josh.
See, I told you.
It saved a lot of time. Just listen to Josh in the first place.
Oh, God, I hate this so much. I used to love the podcast until I realized I was trying to do it by rubbing rocks together and making crystals, you know, have the right frequency to do this. Let me jump out. You can call me back.
Well, I think it might be something in your room.
This sounds like a microphone input gain thing.
Except
that's AGC on Skype, isn't it?
Wait a minute. Let me see if I... Hold on. Let's see if it goes away. I'm going to attempt to move the mic.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Here we go. We're moving the microphone. We're moving the microphone. All right. The microphone is totally away from the computer. Is it still there?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah,
it's much better. Yeah, I think it's the fan on your computer. Yeah, that's right. Much better.
Oh, well, I'll sleep better. All right. Here, now we got it. For crying out loud. All right. I get the hint, guys. I get the hint. I got the hint a year ago.
What are you
My machine
about?
Sucks, and I need to go over to the dark side. I understand.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. QRM! Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Marty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, is Google's Project Glass a good idea? The Russians are developing a zombie gun. And Michael tells us all about Project Paddle Boat. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire.
Live free or die!
Here's Jess, Barry J, Barty, and Michael!
So let's start this puppy.
Somebody just opened a beer.
I wish it was me. Yeah, I don't even have a beverage.
A good old Rogue Yellow Snow IPA.
I've got a small snifter of brandy.
You know what, Barty? I like the way you think, but I'd have to get up and leave the room to go get one.
Well, see, I took care of this before I came in.
I was just waiting for the colossal crash of my machine as usual.
And then don't you have to pour in all that grape stuff?
No, that's with the grape vodka. That's a grape.
Oh, I'm all okay. For those. Well, everybody, welcome to show number 45 here of Late Night QRM from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I'm Barry J. Josh.
This is Barty here, coming to you from central New York.
Josh, Michael goes last. Did we lose Josh? No.
Oh, man.
Where is he? Oh. I think we may have lost his mic.
He moved the mic. Well, he was nervous about moving it.
And from the man cave, the suburbs, beautiful downtown Copper Harbor, it's Michael the Virtual Uber.
Josh will be back as soon as he wiggles some wires.
We don't even have video to see him.
I know. Usually he's giving us the finger and everything else about now.
Yeah, he's probably sounding like the dad from that one Christmas show.
Oh, yeah, the Christmas story.
Big red leg. And he swears.
Every time he works on the furnace.
Exactly. That's Josh stoking up his PC.
Yeah, let's see if he makes it back. He's still connected to us. Maybe we should try to...
I am him.
Yeah, why don't you try... Michael, are you?
All right. Hey,
see if he answers. I can't believe as soon as we start the show, his
kids. Well, actually, it's got that circle of death on his picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that means it's probably trying to. He dropped.
He just came back online. Okay. Do I have to recall him?
No, it should reconnect.
Oh, he's gone now. Let me.
Yep.
Let me call him. Let me add him. Let's see. I guess I gotta add him again. Find Josh.
Well, his picture's still there on my screen. It just shows that he needs to be reconnected.
Can I just call him from that? Yeah. It automatically adds him. Well, that's a good sound.
It's Josh.
From a galaxy far, far away.
I've got you 3x3 there, Jazz. 3x3. You are 5-9 in Copper Harbor. Over.
Any second now, we're going to see a hologram pop up of Jazz saying, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi."
I think he just went on to the dark side of the moon.
Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, that's a good
sounds like some of the communications from the Apollo missions when they were on the other side of the moon. You're right.
Let me see. Let me pull up the technical call window on Josh. No, he went away.
His square disappeared.
Well, it's moved to the queue on the bottom there.
Yeah.
It says that Josh has gone offline.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, well. Welcome to Late Night QRM, where four engineers try to tackle today's modern communication technology. Each week we'll show a series of problems in communicating over the internet.
And I even have a patent in it. Doesn't help.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know why you're not writing a system that we can use just for late night QRM, Michael. I mean, after all, you know.
I suppose if I wrote one that worked.
You should do that in your spare time. Yeah, right. Is he still off?
Yes, yes, he is.
He's green on mine. Let me try calling him again.
He shows offline in mine.
Oop, he's popping back up.
Now it says he went offline on mine.
That's descriptive. Last error reported by Skype. Error. That's it. Just error. Error name is error.
I love it. I love it. Well, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Hope it was a good one for everybody.
Yeah, it wasn't bad here. Any day that gets up into the 50s here is not a bad day. It was full of sunshine.
We started off kind of gray. It was actually snowing this morning.
Yeah, we're supposed to get that tonight.
Yeah, and then it got sunny toward the afternoon, but it stayed pretty cold here.
So. Yeah, the next 4 days between Monday and Thursday, we're supposed to get a mix of rain and snow.
Yeah.
Rain during the day and snow at night.
But we actually need the rain now, so if some weather came in, because we're very dry here, and they keep putting the National Weather Service has us flagged off as good for forest fires if we're not careful.
Yeah, we have the same thing around here. Not right where I'm located, but down to the southeast of me, down in the flatlands, it's pretty dry and very susceptible to grass fires and things like that. So every day in the news, they keep warning people, not to do any burning outside. Hmm. So up here in the Tug Hill, we're not doing too bad. But, we got a lot of lake effect rain and crap like that. So our water levels aren't really too bad. Although we only got about half as much snow this year that we usually get.
That was me trying to call Josh one more time.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I don't think quite did. We hit the 50s today, but that would be in the mile per hour category. I don't think we hit 50 degrees. It was close. It was sunny, but it was cold. But we are under a wind advisory. I think peaks are on 57 today, which are, that's about average up here for a windy day.
Wow, that's pretty substantial for...
That's breezy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Saw your post that you're putting the soft top up on the Jeep.
Yeah, I did that yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it was
you and about the time. Actually, yeah, the boys are old enough now to help me lift off the hard top, so that makes things a whole lot easier. Actually, I should say that started about last year, because they've been helping me pull up tower sections and towers and everything else now. It's... it's made scheduling tasks like that a lot easier.
Yeah, I need to get a soft top for mine.
You got a Wrangler?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
A 2012 even. Bought it last October. My very first Jeep. I'd been wanting one for years. Traded in the Ranger ride that I rolled.
Oh, okay.
The Ranger looks brand new, because I rolled it and trashed most of the body panel, so they replaced everything. So it looks like a brand new truck. But looking down, my office is up on the second floor, and looking down at it, I can see from a distance where the box is starting to twist, and the passenger door wasn't shutting quite right. If you're not familiar with the truck, it seems okay, but after owning it for a number of years, I know that the door is not right. So I kind of figured that... whoa! I'm blasting in the place.
Sorry. I was trying to call Josh back. I saw him come back online.
So hello.
Are you there?
Hey, Josh.
Josh.
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
We're here.
Hello?
Okay. That's phenomenal.
Oh, no. Now his headphones went out.
Jeez.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
How shitty does it sound?
It's passable. Why? Are you using a different mic?
I'm using a different microphone right now because I'm so pissed off at the other one taking a dump on me at the last minute and I wanted to throw it to a wall.
That's all right. It made for a good beginning. You're sounding good.
Yeah, great. Well, you're not too far off with the headphones bit, though.
You heard that, huh? Okay. Well, Barty was telling us about his old car and biting the dust last year, and him getting a Jeep.
Yeah, so I traded the truck in. And got a pretty good deal on it. They paid me more than what I owed on it, which I wasn't going to argue with them about it. So, but the bank that I go through USAA, and they've got a car buying service where they contract out with dealers to buy a vehicle at a decent price.
Right.
So I had already gone through that and gotten quotes for dealers out in Rochester, which is a bit of a stretch from where I'm at. Hmm. So I called a local Jeep dealer and told him, hey, look, I've got this USAA quote that I can go to Rochester and get a Jeep for this price. Can you save me a trip? And they said, yeah, no questions asked. I says, sure, we'll do that. Wow. So when I went in there and I started, I told them, I said, look, I don't want to spend a lot of time haggling because I've already got a done deal in Rochester. It's just a hassle of driving out there to get it. And they said, okay, we'll take care of it. And they sure as hell did. We didn't have to haggle or anything. They gave me a decent price. They gave me more than I owed in the truck and everything. So it was, we were in and out of there in about a half hour.
Wow. That's nice. Cool. That's nice. And, Michael, you also said you temporarily pulled the radio gear out of the Jeep. Is that because you put the soft top on?
Well, indirectly. I pull the antennas off when I take the hard top off, so I don't take the antennas off in the process of taking the hard top off.
Well, that makes sense.
I learned that from past experience, shall I say. And as I took the antennas off, I looked at the connectors and I went, ugh, this isn't good. So after I put the soft top back on, I went out there with my electronic ohm meter and went across the connectors, and they were, I'd say, low impedance connectors, even with both ends of the coax disconnected. So I thought, really? That can't be good for the SWR and the transmitters.
No.
Yeah, so, really. I mean, the Jeep's a 2001. It's been wired since then. And I decided it's time to pull everything out, put all new connectors in and repopulate it, because I really don't want to. I pulled the radios out, put them on the bench. Everything's still transmitting full power. I don't see any damage, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah. So it's,
so they're temporarily out.
Until you get new cabling.
Yeah, I got to put new cabling in, and then I'll reinstall it all.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Josh, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Hey, actually, you sound good.
Oh, well, thanks very much. I'm using a $5 headset with a built-in boom mic on it.
Okay, it's sounding good. It's sounding good. So,
miracles do happen.
And, you know, until you give Michael your address so he can send you that stuff.
Oh, Jesus, I knew he was going to. Oh, my God.
Trying to send you for the past 2 months now.
What?
Yeah, that's a good thing. He's been my buddy for 10 years now.
Decade
worth of.
Well, the thing is, you know what it is? It's not anything aside from the fact that I keep forgetting, and I was going to send it as a text message, but then I thought, it'll get lost in translation. Two shows ago. Yeah. I was going to send it right after we had finished the show via email, and that's when my computer crashed.
Oh.
And I remember that because I'm like, you know what? So I don't forget, let me do it right now.
Okay.
And then, boom, machine took a dump. And I'm like, oh, screw this. I'm going to go have a drink and sit down and watch TV.
There you go.
I was going to tell you, there's this neat thing that they've created called Gmail.
No shit, huh? What's that do? Is that mean this being Go Fast Mail?
Yeah, that's it. Go Fast Mail.
Go Fast Mail. I'm going to have to try that out. You guys and your newfangled gadgets.
Well, if everybody can download Uvu for next week, maybe we'll give that a try. And
download another computer to turn on.
Yeah, I was going to say yet another communication technology we could screw up next week.
I had to drill holes in the side of my ancient PC to let the evil spirits out. You want me to download a software?
Yeah, it's called Uvu.
I had to like voodoo on my machine just to keep it running.
Oh, jeez. But, speaking of technology, this week, and actually my wife got me doing this because she's been kind of watching the Masters all week. And the ESPN 3D channel has been covering it, even though it's on CBS. They've been covering it in 3D. And so she goes, well, I'm watching it in 3D. So I'm like, well, I can either look at a blurry screen or put the glasses on. So I did, and surprisingly it's not bad in 3D. It gives you a different perspective, definitely.
I'm not sure if I'm really into putting on glasses just to watch TV.
Well, I mean, this was different. Other sports run too fast, and I think it messes with your eyes too much in 3D, but golf is just about the right pace. And
really,
yeah.
I don't know if I could sit around and watch golf even in 3D.
like watching paint dry on a wall in 3D.
Yeah, everybody says that, yet TV puts it on, so there must be somebody watching it.
Because yeah, Tiger Woods after
Florida,
he gets
long since retired.
So
my
hearts
can't handle much more.
I was gonna, I couldn't find one, but I was waiting for. We were sitting there watching it in 3D, and Mickelson was teeing off, and I wanted to get a golf ball. And when he teed off, because they have sometimes this front shot with the ball coming kind of right at you, and I wanted to throw a golf ball in her lap, you know. The thing.
Yeah,
you won't get yelled at for that.
Throw it back at you.
Faster. Yeah. Except for she'll forearm it at me.
Yeah, you really get have a lump on your forehead.
Yeah, really.
But
you'll have one pair of 3D glasses after that because she'll bean you right between the eyes with them.
So it was interesting. And so that's one sport that's fairly decent in 3D. So just wanted to bring that up because otherwise I really don't use the 3D on that TV much. So, and of course the news today, Mike Wallace passed away.
Yeah.
At 93.
That's a good old age.
Yeah, that is a good old age. He was born in 1918. And,
holy crap.
Yeah. Of course, we all grew up with him on television, you know, especially 60 Minutes. He was on that for, I don't know how many years, probably 40 years.
He pretty
years.
Much was 60 Minutes.
Yeah, he was there from the very beginning. And he, I think just a year or two ago, he retired. And he didn't really, he retired from being on it every week. I think he showed up every once in a while, but, you know, 93, and he was still working. So.
Yeah.
That's
You knew if you were a business owner and you got the word that Mike Wallace was in the reception area waiting for you, you knew you were going to have a bad week.
Yeah. He was a heck of a journalist.
Yeah. He was one of the...
one of a dying breed of journalists. We don't have that kind of journalism anymore.
No,
we don't have journalism anymore.
Yeah.
No, we don't. You didn't know what his political... feelings were one way or another. He just reported the news, which is something that's missing these days. So we're gonna miss Mike. And let's see. Next on the list, I found some topics. Google has come out. Well, they came out with a video on a project they're working on. Called Glass, and I don't know whether anybody saw the video or not, but it's basically a pair of glasses you put on. It's got this little thing that hangs over or up above one eye, but I'm not sure whether it reflects on the glass in front of you, but basically it's like walking around kind of like what you saw in the cyborgs and stuff. You could see stuff, you know, you're pointing out things ahead of you. You can read email. You can answer text messages and do all sorts of things. So basically it's kind of like an iPad except for it's in your eye. And
so basically you're Geordi LaForge from the Next Generation.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was it gives you like an altered view of reality. Secretly, yeah. I think they were developing that to be able to counteract the Steve Jobs reality distortion field.
Yeah, I think you're right. But
by the time they came out with it, though, it was already too late.
And I saw what was the cartoon?
Excuse me.
Oh, the cartoon. There was a cartoon that says what they expect it to be, and they show everybody walking around answering. You know, everybody using this Google Glass and being very productive and knowing everything. And they said what reality is with this, and they had like five guys sitting around in the basement there, and they were all looking at porn through it.
So. That's what the internet was invented for, I think.
So it was a pretty interesting cartoon, but I don't know whether this is going to take off. I'm sure somebody, but you know, people have enough problems walking with just their smartphones, you know, walking around and bumping into things. Now, can you imagine if the thing's constantly up in front of you as you're walking around? And
I was going to say, I attribute it closely to driving while texting. The next thing you know, there'll be laws very shortly after they come out saying you're not allowed to Google Glass and walk at the same time because people are stepping in front of buses. You wait. People are inherently stupid.
Yeah. It costs a lot of money to clean that off the front of a bus, too.
Just you wait.
I can imagine everybody walking around with those things on, and you know, you used to think people were crazy. You know, you would find all the crazy homeless people talking to themselves and everything. Now everybody's going to be talking to themselves.
I do that now with the Bluetooth earpieces. Yeah. It happens to me at work all the time.
You think they're talking to you?
Oh, yeah, they think I'm talking to myself out loud. I'm having a conversation about, you know, whatever work-related topic it is with my Bluetooth earpiece.
Oh, geez.
Heck, half the time I'm talking to you. People just think I'm nuts. He's standing over there behind that machine. He's talking to his imaginary friends again.
Who is this Barry J he keeps talking to around here?
Exactly.
He seems to be happy that the beer has bubbles. Now.
I don't know whether that thing's going to be successful or not, but I'm sure people will be buying them as soon as they come out.
Let me try this. Now, you guys, mark my words for when they become popular and they kick off. This is, I guarantee you, hear something along these lines. How did their house burn down, Mrs. Johnson? Well, I was frying bacon while watching my Google Glasses and took my eye off the target, flipped the grease onto the curtains in the kitchen, and the whole baby just went right up. And I thought it was a video.
I thought I was watching YouTube.
Exactly. And then I realized, once my glasses turned off because my computer shorted out, that, it's my house that's on fire.
Yep, I can see that happening. I can see a lot of car accidents happen because people will be wearing them while they're driving. And people running into each other on the sidewalks probably. So
I can see it now. Bunch of wannabes running around going, I'm Cyberman. No, you're a dickhead. Turn those things off. Take them off your head and walk down the street like a normal human being. You can't chew gum and walk yet. What makes you think you can read email and do it?
Yeah, really. That's good. I love that, Jess.
Oh, man.
Let's get off this topic.
Okay.
What the heck is this crap about the Russians developing a mind-altering electromagnetic zombie gun?
Well, that's
when was the last time you actually saw a zombie that you needed to shoot?
You're not ready for the zombie apocalypse?
This afternoon.
Wait a minute. You just...
Aaron Curry was talking about that in today's No Agenda show. He's got this gun for shooting zombies that doesn't work. Just... You know, and John was telling him, well, since there aren't any zombies around, it doesn't matter if it works.
I was going to say, we saw one this afternoon. He was wearing those Google glasses.
Exactly.
Yeah, well,
oh my God!
You know, the government did put out how to survive the zombie apocalypse. You know, the U.S. government wouldn't lie to us. So there must be out there somewhere.
Why? When did they stop?
So let's see. I read this thing a few days ago. Let's see. So the weapon, which sounds like something from a campy 1970s science fiction flick, is said to use electromagnetic radiation, and was first announced by Russian Defense Minister, where's Anne-Marie when I need her? Anatoly Serdyukov.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. According to Russian officials, the weapon was developed as means to strategically control and disperse unruly crowds in a non-lethal manner. I thought we were doing something like that, too.
Isn't that like a stun gun?
Well, didn't we have something like a microwave gun that's, you know, would fry people from the inside and make them want to go home?
Yeah.
It sounds more like it'd make them dead. No, your innards get fried. I don't think you're going to be able to go home.
I want to go home. Why do I smell bacon? Boy, I got a craving for ham. Boy, that hurts.
Yeah, this is the same thing. Directing concentrated 95 gigahertz electromagnetic beams at its targets and stopping them in their tracks by elevating body temperature to unbelievable levels. No shit, Sherlock. Yeah,
95. Well,
with that, you'd be able to power the flux capacitor.
Yeah, mention, you could make microwave popcorn from the living room with the popcorn bag sitting on the kitchen table and just shoot it with your ray gun and poof, it's done. Huh?
Fun always for all thinking. The kids.
Josh, I like the way you think. Finding practical uses for useless crap.
It's the crowd controller / popcorn maker. anyway, so they're working on that. I think we're working on something very similar. That and...
It was on Future Epics.
Well, where do you think they got the plan?
The television show.
Which
exactly. Well, where do you think the Russians got the idea for it and the plans to put it together?
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
They were watching Future Weapons on the Discovery Channel, on the Military Channel, and they said, "Ooh, that is a good idea. We should try this.
We should steal these plans." You would buy them from China.
Exactly. Except it'll only work for until the warranty runs out. And then when they try and call customer support, they're going to get ping zing on the other end of the phone, and you know it's a dead issue from there. You know how that plays out.
Peggy.
Peggy.
I remember that commercial. Yeah, Peggy. All right. We beat that topic to death now.
Yeah, so Microsoft is buying up iPhone app developers.
Yeah, apparently, you know, Microsoft has these new Microsoft phones coming out, and they got the microphone Windows 7 phone out.
Yeah, Windows Phone 7, amazing device. I've never met anyone that actually owned one.
And I guess they're coming out with 8 real soon.
And I think they sold a few hundred of them, even.
Yeah. So, but the problem is they're not getting anybody. Nobody's writing apps for them. So,
yeah, tell you, geez, I wonder why. Nokia's going to be screwed if people don't buy this thing.
Yeah, that's right. They got a deal with Nokia. They're trying to get back into the U.S. market with this phone.
Yeah, well, they dumped all their Linux phones, and they're going exclusively with Windows.
That was their first mistake.
Well, now Microsoft is offering money to app developers, iPhone app developers, to come to the dark side and write apps for the phone. So there's nothing Microsoft can't buy. That's for sure. So we'll see how successful they'll be.
Yeah. You know, another thing that Microsoft is doing.
What's that?
Is they're opening up Microsoft stores right close nearby to as many Apple stores as they can.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about that.
You know why that is, Barty? That's the way when you're walking down the mall and you've come out of the Apple store happy with your purchase, with your product that works just right, and you walk past the Microsoft store, you can point in at the idiots and laugh at them. That's why they... It's you, sucker.
Well, especially since Microsoft doesn't really make any hardware, so they're basically selling everybody else's junk.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
And they're trying to make it look just like the Apple Store, and I don't know whether they have the people, as many people there to come and welcome you. Come into our fold. Come into our happy little ritual here. Like the Apple.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, a lot of those Apple stores are really pretty dramatic. And you ever been to the one down in Times Square?
No.
The big glass cube? Mm. That thing is amazing. I haven't seen it since they remodeled it, but I went down there. I had a business trip out to a National Guard base out in Long Island, and we had the weekend off. We were there for 2 weeks. And brought my wife with me, and we took the Long Island Railroad down into downtown Manhattan, went and visited the store. It was just an amazing place, you know. And other than the fact that it was totally packed with people, it was really kind of neat to visit.
Wow.
You know, and there's a number of other stores that are really that nice. The one that's here in the Syracuse Mall really kind of sucks because it's really kind of tiny. But some of the other Apple stores I've been to are really pretty grandiose.
Yeah, that's the same thing with the Pheasant Lane Mall. It's kind of small. But if I've been to the one in Tyson's Corner in Virginia. That was actually their first store. And yeah. They actually have an area in the back where they have classes and different lectures and seminars and everything in the back. So I'm assuming that the one in New York is the same way.
Yeah, because it's multi-level. It's pretty large.
It's down. It goes down. It's underground too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You go down this glass spiral staircase to get down to it.
Oh, that's wild.
And there was some old lady that was suing Apple because she walked into the friggin' door.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, I think.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She slammed into the...
Please see my comment earlier about how people are stupid.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything more about that, so I kind of think it didn't really go anywhere.
Mm. Well, we'll see what happens, but yeah. You notice that's...
So, talking about app developers for mobile devices, Wikipedia is changing their maps away from Google Maps.
Oh, yes.
To me, when I read that today, I was kind of like, well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the, not only Wikipedia, but there was a, I'm bringing the story up, so, and my computer's being slow. There was a couple others. Okay. I had it up, and it, oh, Foursquare. And actually, Apple, they're claiming that maybe the next iPhone is going to move away from using Google window or Google Maps. And the main reason for this is because Google decided after you use Google Maps for a certain amount of data, I'm not sure how they're measuring it, but they start charging. And they just raised their rates. That's what I'm saying. Google's starting to, I want to say Google's becoming evil. Google's becoming greedy. You know, they mm-hmm. got all this stuff out there. They offered it up for free in the beginning, and now they're coming back. And they're saying, well, you like that? You've been used to using it for the past 5 or 6 years? Well, that's good. Now you got to pay for it.
I believe dark alley drug dealers use the same marketing technique, which is give away the product, get them hooked on a product, make them believe they can't live without the product, and then gaff them for cash for the product.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
well, it's a great business model if you can get it to work.
By the way, while you were just talking, I noticed if you heard the bloop bloop, Mr. J. Christ came up on Skype.
What?
Who?
Mr. Who? J. Christ.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
He's using Skype.
Holy shit.
I didn't think he needed Skype.
I'm sitting there and I hear the boop boop, so I go over to look and it says Mr. J. Christ. He has risen.
It makes you wonder, is he using Mac or is he on a PC?
It'd be funny if he tries to dial in.
No, Joel, he's in the cloud computing.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's so good.
Kicker is I don't know any J. Christ.
Maybe it's time, Barry.
It is Easter after all, I guess.
Hello.
That's how I was talking to my friends on Skype doing a podcast, and Jesus Christ decided to stop by. No kidding. How'd that go?
Hello. I just wanted to say hello on this fine Easter Sunday.
Is he still showing up in your contacts? We could add him in.
Yeah, come on. Pull him in.
I don't know. Let's see. Let's see if he's in my contacts.
J. Christ.
While he's doing that, check the... late night Dropbox. I added a photo that you guys might like.
Yeah, I don't
cool.
see.
Will do. Will do.
I don't see him live.
You know what? Jesus Christ didn't even bother to stop by in my Skype. I guess that just tells me I'm going straight south when the time comes.
You're
time
you're
to
screwed, die. Man.
I've got more people telling me I've got like reservations in hell already, so I guess he won't Skype me, bastard. Let's check Dropbox.
Dropbox?
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to throw a monkey wrench into all of this.
Oh, sure.
No, you didn't.
Well,
I was all talking about Jesus anyway. What'd he ever do for me?
It's not like we don't have other problems, you know.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? How about this? I'll jump on board and with the team there if you can fix our political issues in this what used to be wonderful country. Fix that, and I'll sign up. I'll get a subscription.
Yeah, I'll say political QRM had a lot to talk about this week. Holy cow.
Let's see.
No kid.
I won't drag us into this. But
there's 15 pictures in here. Which one are we supposed to be looking
is
at?
Is it the beer ambulance?
Yes.
Oh, is that what this is?
The beer ambulance.
The beer ambulance. Stay calm, beer is here. Thank God. Yeah, now that's good. That's actually, that's a hell of a good marketing idea.
A friend of mine posted that, but it was up in Facebook, so I figured I'd at least put it on the Dropbox.
Oh, that's cool.
So how's the beer coming, by the way?
Speaking of beer. Beer update. It's still in the bottles, and it is doing the...
That means he hasn't drank it yet.
Well, no, because you got to let it sit for 2 more weeks in the bottles for carbonation purposes. So, but I did take I would say half of them yesterday and shook them up, and it does look like there is some carbonation taking effect. So, we should be good for opening up one or two maybe next weekend. Nice. If we let it go for 2 weeks, but they say also if you let it go longer, it gets better. So. But I don't know how long I can wait.
Speaking of beer, there was a pretty interesting historical tidbit I heard over the weekend, being right around the anniversary of the turning off prohibition, that one of the first breweries in the country to start mm-hmm. having beer available in large quantities was actually in Utica, New York. So they must have cheated and started brewing while it was still illegal. And had it available about a few days after Prohibition ended.
Huh.
That was good old Utica Club.
Utica Club.
And they still brew that today.
Wow, because Yingling's supposed to be the oldest running brewery in the U.S. That's so
they probably illegally brewed during Prohibition.
Yeah, they must. What was it called? Utica what?
Utica Club.
Club.
It's the Saranac Brewery is the one that owns it now.
I've heard of that before. What the hell was that?
That was me.
Wasn't on my end.
Not here.
That was Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
that was me.
Oh.
It's time for me to do my vitals and stuff.
Ah, okay. Is that a little alarm or...
Something. No, that was my blood pressure meter.
Oh. Was that an alarm? No, that was the mouse he keeps in his pocket. It knows to squeak at 8 o'clock every night. What the hell? Of course it was an alarm. I got this mouse. He's trained to be able to tell the time just by counting in seconds. 8 o'clock, he squeaks. Every once in a while, I put some crackers in my pocket with some cheese on them.
Oh, we're in great shape tonight.
Oh, God.
I haven't even been drinking yet.
There's your problem.
You know what? You're right. If I could flag the missus and see if she could bring me a brandy. Oops, hold on. Son of a... Turn down.
Are you playing Angry Birds while we're... Birds.
No.
<I'm> watching porn videos.
Angry Birds in Space. I love this stupid game.
Jeez.
Well, I'm reading the topics. I'm commenting. Matter of fact, some of you is probably wishing I'd shut up.
Hey, we're just glad that you're still able to connect.
Yeah, you know what? After putting away the fancy microphone and getting out the $5 cheap piece of shit, it seems to work okay. No, that's, you know what? I just chalk it up to a combination of things. I still haven't taken it into work to take the mic apart to see if I could fix it. I think I should probably do that.
Well, you've probably been busy, so.
Yeah, and then some.
Unlike me, who's running out of things to do. That's not funny, actually.
That's not funny, actually. Oh, God.
What? I have to go find work where? yeah, things are starting to slow down at my workplace, so we're all a little nervous about that. But, and we're finally, yeah, the slowdown is finally hitting us. Defense contractors usually lag behind by a year or two. So we'll see. Hopefully, they'll come in with some more money. Maybe. Hopefully.
Maybe.
So let's go on to another topic, shall we? Before I start crying.
Yeah, that's not depressing.
Android this week announced that they now have Instagram. Yay! Does anybody care?
No, not really.
Nah.
I'm not on Android, so not really.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I've got Instagram, but I just haven't found a reason to use it.
It's supposed to be one of the most popular apps out there, and I don't understand why. Because I download it, and I said, "Okay, yeah, go look at this. I can upload pictures to people. I can do that Facebook, and I can do that on Twitter." So. What makes this? Oh, look, I can make a picture look like I took it in 1960. Okay.
Wow. Who gives a shit?
Really? Why? Why? If I've got all this digital technology to take really good photographs, really, really, you know, high resolution photographs, why do I want to make it look like it's been aging since 1960?
Don't they have a booth for that at Canopy Lake where you can just stand there and look like you're in the old West and it's an old, you know, I mean, yeah. And they charge you $28 to take a picture with the missus standing there looking like you're an old gunslinger. And, well, I thought that was kind of campy then. Why the hell would I want an app to do it?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get it. So
I'll be right back in a second.
Okay.
Get me one, too.
Well, I should wait for Barney to come back for the next topic, because I'm sure he's heard about it. But, Josh, you may want to take notice here.
Mm-hmm. On this, I'm listening.
The first virus, actually it wasn't a virus, it was a Trojan horse, hit the Macworld. And supposedly 600,000 Macs have been infected by a Trojan horse.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know if it really counts as a virus if it comes up and say, with this pop-up screen saying, enter your administrator password to install me.
Well, again, see Josh's comment above.
Okie dokie.
Oh, I wonder what they want. Okay, let me add that here. Yeah,
Josh, it doesn't infect your machine unless you actually enter your password saying, okay, hey, go ahead and install.
And go back to my comment of earlier, yeah. People are stupid. And they'll go, I'm supposed to do this because nothing bad ever happens to my Mac. The man at the store said so. So realistically, yeah, I could see where 600,000 morons all put in their administrative password for some software that they've got no clue what it's going to do.
Yes. Well, and not only that, but the vulnerability was in Java. It wasn't even any of the Apple products. Yes, it was
in Java. A JavaScript.
Right. And the big thing here is supposedly Apple was slow at getting the update out for Java.
It did come out this week, though.
It did. Yeah.
And I did check my machine, and I can at least claim that I have not taken the stupid pill yet.
Yeah, me too. I had to make sure nobody else in the house took a stupid pill. But luckily, that didn't happen. So I did check all the machines. So, But yeah, so you know, ooh, better put virus protection on your Mac.
See, now it's getting silly, because now it's no better than like a cutting edge Alienware. Because if you got to start putting virus scan and Trojan scan, and
I'm not planning to.
Neither am I.
It's, you know, like I said, it pops up and to ask you for your root password or administrative password. So it's like, okay, if you're dumb enough to do that, then you probably deserve a Trojan horse on your machine.
Now, my question for you is this. If that happens, how hard is it to like clean up a Mac in comparison to, say, a PC?
Well,
I
did the part that told you how to check you were actually infected, and it was like bring up a command line, and then there was like three lines that you typed in or cut and paste in and to check to see if you were infected or not. But there was another link over to, and I didn't look at it, to how to clean it up, and it sounded like it was pretty it would take you some time to get through everything and get it out of there. I'm sure somebody would come up with an automated way to do it eventually. But
my next question is then, could you take your machine and say in the Mac store, will those people help you out?
Probably. And,
I was wondering about that. Yeah. I mean,
you can make a Genius appointment probably, and they would do it for you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So they still have good, what sounds to be really good customer support.
Oh, they have the best customer support. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're actually, they win awards every year for their customer support.
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. And I can comment on that. I brought a MacBook Pro to them that the battery was toast on, and it was a year out of warranty. And they just replaced the battery. Yeah, even though, really? Like I said, it was a whole year out of warranty. And I was expecting to have to buy a replacement battery for it. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was hoping that they could find some way of maybe adjusting something so it would continue to charge, because the battery wasn't able to hold a charge anymore. Mm-hmm. And they apologized to me. They said, well, we're sorry that this happened to this battery. We'll get you another one. And I was like, okay, I wonder how much this is going to be. And he came back, and he says, okay, and the new battery's in there. You're good to go. And I says, how much do I owe you? He goes, no, we just gave you the battery. He says, seriously? I was pretty damn happy.
Well, this is, you were gone. We were reading a story about the Trojan horse infection on 600,000 Macs.
Yeah, it's not on any of mine.
And it's not on, we were just saying it's not on any of ours. But, and supposedly you have to give them the password to get in anyway, so
really,
so it's like, I'm not really that worried about my Mac yet, although this was the first attempt to get into the Mac world, so we'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye out, but I really don't want to run virus software, because it just slows everything down.
It's really kind of funny,
trust me.
At work, I work with Unix machines, primarily Solaris boxes, mm-hmm. and the government policy is that every computer will have a virus scanner on it.
Yes.
So everywhere we go, we have to install McAfee on all these Unix boxes that don't have any viruses available.
Untrusted networks, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, indeed. High side and low side trusted machines.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me, you know? I know.
And lock down everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Solaris, is that still around? Has Oracle continued that, or is or Sun machines going by the wayside now?
Well, they're still making new machines, and they're continuing to update Solaris, but it's not at the development pace that Sun was at.
Right.
And, of course, the government's always like two versions behind everybody else anyway.
That's true.
So, you know, we're still on Solaris 10, you know.
I was just wondering whether it was still around.
It's pretty deeply entrenched in the government.
Because I think Oracle just bought Sun just for Java.
Yeah, pretty much, and
MySQL, I think too.
The biggest, there was the biggest server out there that ran most instances of Oracle databases anyway.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so you know, if you wanted to run a big Oracle database, you were looking to buy a Sun anyhow.
Right.
You know, But yeah, they're not really keeping up development, and you know, the whole attitude with the people that work at what used to be Sun is like really gone down in the toilet since Oracle's owned it. Because you know, you used to be able to talk to like customer support people, and they were like jazzed about their jobs, they were jazzed about the company and things. And you talk to them now, and you know, they all talk like they don't really give a crap anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Oracle is like gutting the company and things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, they only bought it for a couple of reasons. I heard they were going to get out of the hardware business, but because pretty much Dell and HP own the server business, at least for the rest of the world. So,
yeah, but if you want Unix boxes, though, I mean, HP's Unix boxes really haven't been that great, you know? And you really can't get the kind of bandwidth and throughput out of a Windows machine that you can out of a Sun box.
That's true. That's true, but, you know, I don't think Oracle's interested in it, so, well, we'll see what happens. So, Michael, spring cleaning.
Yes?
You were spring cleaning?
Yep, and I'm tired and sore to prove it. Well, it might have had something to do with another subject that you see a couple lines down, but, yeah, we when we moved up here, one of the things we did was, packed everything into a horse trailer. And when things didn't quite work out where we were bringing the horses up right away, that horse trailer stayed packed. So this fall, it'll be 4 years we've been here full time. And the horse trailer just got unpacked today. And it was one of those things where you open up a box and go, so that's where that went to. Did a lot of that today. We need to clear it out because... the people who are the farm where our horses are at, they need to be able to start trailering them. I'm having trouble talking here. So open up the trailer, and I'm amazed after almost 4 years, that thing has just been watertight. Everything's fine in there. Got it all unpacked, sorted through it, put some stuff in the basement of the house and some stuff in the garage, and got it all cleaned up and ready to go. The only thing, the problem is it's... I mean, the tires are good, but they've got dry rot on them now. I mean, there's plenty of tread, but I wouldn't use them. So we're going to bring it in this week and have 4 new tires put on it, and then it'll be all set to go. I'm sure our neighbors will be happy to see the horse trailer go, though. It's been sitting here for quite a while.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, so it's good time.
Yeah. Well, we got that done. And as I said, temperature-wise, didn't hit the 50s, but wind-wise, it did today. So I wasn't really all that motivated to go for a run, but I thought, you know, I haven't done a serious mountain bike trip yet this year. So although I've been out there running the trails on foot, I thought I'd actually get the mountain bike on the trails.
Yeah.
So went a good ways up the mountain today, and I'm being careful because there's still trees down all over the place, and went over some of the bridges, and I've got it. Get a Go Cam or borrow one from somebody so I can show you some of these routes that I ride.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But, as I said, I'm taking it easy today and taking it easy on the bridges. The bridges are only like 18 inches wide and there's no railings.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's
aim carefully.
You aim high in steering, you know, the old Smith system there. Because if you look down at what you're doing, you'll wipe out. And some of them you don't want to wipe out on because it's a long way down if you go off. But took a couple trips up, partway up the mountain, turned around, came back, and felt like I got a decent workout. And then I decided to take a leisurely trip through the state park here. Well, you know, that's the what they call the intermediate trail. So I've kind of let my guard down a little bit, and I always ride with a helmet. I'm coming, maybe a mile and a half from the house. And I see this big tree root that's kind of eroded out of the ground. So getting ready to pull the front tire up as I go over it. Well, just as I'm getting ready to pull the front tire up, there was enough tree root behind it that hit my rear tire and pushed the rear tire up as I'm trying to pull the front wheel up. And the end result was it pushed the front tire down right into the crack between the ground and the tree root. And all in slow motion, I saw the front shocks compress, and I started seeing myself going over the handlebars and went, this is going to hurt. Womp.
Oh, man.
So, I normally go over the handlebars a couple times during the course of a year, but I wasn't planning on doing it this early in the year, and I'm a little sore.
Jeez.
My son and I had a similar instance on our ATV a bunch of years ago. when I was still living in New Hampshire, out to where the in Nashua, where they're talking about the Broad Street Parkway that's going to go from exit 6 to downtown. There's a bunch of woods mm-hmm. that they're going to rape to put that through. And my son and I used to go and bomb around on the four-wheeler out there. And we were coming down a sandy hill one time, and we were going kind of slow and cautious, and there was a rock we didn't see that one of the front tires hit, and as soon as it hit it, all forward momentum stopped. But of course, we already had too much momentum going downhill for the machine to stop. So the result was that the back end came up off the ground and started to just flip over backwards.
Oh,
and the back rack hit a branch and stopped, which threw us off the machine. Oh. So we landed softly in the sand, so we were okay. Oh. But then the branch started to crack, and we were like, oh, no, we had to roll out of the way really quickly. We landed upside down. We just barely cleared that thing before it hit.
Wow. So yeah, that was part about me going over the handlebars is, you know, that you get the first pain of you hitting the ground head first, yeah. And then you know that bike is coming after you, hit you in the back. Not too bad when, you know, mountain bikes hurt when they hit you, but it's not like getting hit in the back by a ATV or something like that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because we're like laying there looking up at the ATV, and we looked at each other and says, "Boy, we were lucky." And then the branch starts to crack, and we're like, "Whoa, get out of the way!"
So you almost ran over yourself.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah, it ended upside down. We had to roll it back over.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, that was a fun day. Well, that was more fun than the day we got us stuck in the mud. Took us like 2 hours to get out of this mud bog. It didn't look like it was one of those things that didn't look as deep as it turned out to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to hook up the winch and like start pulling that thing out, and it was in there really good, and the mud was like making sucking noises and stuff, and it was like, oh man. So it took us 2 hours to get the thing loose.
Wow.
Good times, man. Good times.
Always good times. Well, speaking of games.
Yes.
Yeah.
My kids have been asking, yeah. i.e. the military advisors, when are we going to do this?
My military advisors. I like that. Military advisors.
Well, I'm ready anytime.
Yeah. So what? You guys are waiting?
I can bring a couple of players, too. I can bring my son and my grandson.
Okay. Just remember, we're going to get our asses whooped.
Well, if we can all play together as a team and use the younger ones to keep us older ones alive.
Oh, okay. how do you play? Can you play against the computer, or do you have to, in I guess live play there, you have to...
Well, in Modern Warfare, you can have a... I'm not sure what the maximum number of players are, but it seems like you can have like 6 to 8 players on a team. Okay. And you go into the play area, and you wait for other players to come and join your game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like all of you against all of them.
Okay, but if we wanted to have a private game... Okay,
right.
Josh,
we
ahead.
Can actually have a private game set up by invitation only, and then from there. So let's say there's all the kids and us and, you know, cousins, nephews, what have you. So we all know it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, we're still going to have our butts handed to us by, you know, 13 yeah. and 14-year-olds. But because they're there by invite, then once you have everybody in that room, they can choose which side they want to play on, which team.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you can play against each other.
Just, you know, break up into two teams and, you know, go at each other.
And then go. Right, yeah. Exactly.
I think I like that better than playing against people I don't know, at least until...
Well, but with my son and grandson, it's just the three of us and maybe, you know, one other person. So, you know, we're looking for, you know, it'd really be kind of hard to have, like, two people on one team and two people on the other.
But if you invite him into our game, we'll be up to... We'll have three more people, right. And Josh, do you have two machines that you could get your son?
I got my son. I'm working on it now for when he's at his mom's house. But for as it stands right now, he and I both could play off of my one machine.
Okay.
And then I've got a buddy of mine actually who I work with. Another one as a good friend of mine, and his son. Okay. So I got probably 3 or 4 players on my side. So I mean, we could put 16 people in.
That would be good.
And and then from there, it would be, you know, pretty friggin' cool, I think, to be able to go at it and have some fun, you know, sniping and trying to complete missions.
Yeah, yeah. And Michael, what can you do on your side? Do you just have the one machine, or?
Yeah, we've got the one Xbox.
Okay, so we could trade off, and you guys could trade off and play if you wanted to, if your sons want to get in on it.
Oh, you can have two people on one machine with a split screen.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. My son and I do we play split screen, you know, against the computer. Okay. So if you think there's two for us, you know, and on our end, and then like I said, my buddy and his son, they've got two machines. You know, so there's four from just on another buddy at work. There's five. Okay. I got about six people I could bring in.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to plan this.
It's just a question. It's right. It's just a coordination. When is a good time? And I know with summer coming up, you got to factor in all the military advisors typically play youth baseball and youth soccer. And so a lot of times they got practice when we could sit down and play because, you know, well, let's face it. I don't think we do those things, guys.
Well, I was thinking, you know,
where it's like, okay, what are you going to do? I got to go cut the grass. Oh, okay. Well, you know, but exactly. So I'm thinking like a Saturday night, 7 o'clock kind of thing, or 6 o'clock. I don't know.
No, it sounds good to me.
Yeah. Okay, you 2 a.m. isn't good?
That's what I end up breaking up. God knows I can hear my teenage son say to me, hey, Dad, can I stay up a little later? I don't have school tomorrow, you know. And I'm just saying, shut up and stop shooting me in the head.
You know? Yeah, during the summer, that's not an issue. As a matter of fact, a lot of times my oldest is going to bed as I'm getting up for medic shift.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well,
speaking of.
Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, what time is that, Michael? 4 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I get up at 3:30 for medic shift.
Pretty close.
Oh.
Yeah. I leave at 4:30, but close. I get up at 3:30 when I have a day shift, which is a relative term. It just means your 24 hours either starts at 6 in the morning or 6 at night.
Wow, you know what? I was just getting ready to whine and complain because I got to be at work at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. And you know what? I think I'm just going to shut up because you'd get up way earlier than me.
Well, you know, my problem is I just live so far away from the station house because the shift starts at 6, but it's the responsibility of the medic to make sure the equipment's all ready to roll. So you got to get there at least by 5:30, if not earlier, to do a complete rig check to make sure all the drugs are on and everything. Mm.
Well, let's.
So as far as coordination, I will make a point to.
I was going to say, Josh, since you got the most people to invite, why don't we?
We need to. I just thought of our gamer tags.
Yes, I got yours already. I became your friend. I hope.
Really, I haven't seen you show up on my Xbox. I keep looking.
Well, I accepted you as a friend. I even sent you a voicemail, supposedly.
You didn't send it to me.
I sent it to somebody.
There's some kid. Somebody's probably wondering, who the hell is this Barry J guy?
Mommy, this guy sent me an invite. I don't know him.
Oh, crap.
I see it now. In a few weeks, there's going to be some guys in dark suits banging on your door wanting to know why are you trying to talk to this young kid, 7-year-old dude or something, you know?
Oh, there goes my clearance. Oh, jeez.
I just thought of three more guys that I worked with at my previous employer who are all big time in Xbox and gaming online that are cool. Oh, okay. And actually, I got probably at least 10 people I got to get a hold of. And well, some of these guys are hardcore too. I mean, I used to be, but I'm not hardcore anymore. I probably still only log about 18 hours a week out playing on the Xbox. And literally, it's Monday to Friday. You come home from work and you're exhausted. And I really don't, a lot of times it's just nice just to flip it on for just an hour.
I think I logged 18 hours last year.
So far, I've turned it on once. I turned it on. I hooked up the Ethernet forum and said, okay, guys, you're set to go.
We'll be the point men.
I gotta confirm something too. Are we talking Modern Warfare 3 that we want to do this with?
Yeah, name one. I think we've got
it all here.
You've got
too.
Black Ops. You've got 3 at your place, Barry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got both Black Ops and MW3.
I've got Black Ops and 3.
All right, so if we just pick one, say Modern Warfare 3, because it's the latest one out, and Black Ops sucked, then I know to tell everybody this is a game, and here's a date and a time. Well, so we kind of narrowed down 6 o'clock on a Saturday, or do you want to make it later?
7 would be better.
I think 7 would be better for us, too, yeah.
All right, so 7 o'clock on Saturday, Saturday, so we just haven't figured out which Saturday we want to try and kick it off.
Right.
Which today is the 8th. I'm looking at a calendar from last year, so that won't do me a whole lot of good.
Good to see you're up to date there, Dad.
Well, I'm looking. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't last year. It's last month. I'm like, okay, so today's the 8th, and it's Sunday, so it's Thursday. And I'm looking going, what? Wait. That's last month. Let's flip the page, shall we? That's right, guys. I still use paper calendars. You use an app for everything. And
No. I've got my Star Trek calendar hanging on the wall here. Leonard McCoy looking at me here.
My paper calendar doesn't have batteries that go dead. So there's that.
Yeah, mine doesn't.
It's the 14th, Josh.
No, I'm supposed to say, you want to try and shoot for next Saturday?
Yeah, I'm not working.
I'm probably good for next Saturday.
I think I could probably...
I'll get all the little ducks in a row.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll email you guys. And you know what? I'll even send you my address, Michael.
Oh, there you go.
And you're going to use email, right?
Yes. Not smoke signals this time.
I can see us again next week at this time having the exact same conversation.
Shut up, Marty.
Just don't send me an SMS because I have to wait till the next time I go to town to get it.
You know what? That's what I was going to do. I was going to shoot you a text, and I thought that's probably not going to be. It's not going to work out good. So, so now I'm actually trying to send an email now while we talk. Well, if my computer blows up, I won't be surprised.
Say, sure, you can handle that
now.
The 2 is you put Michael's address in where the 2 is.
Is that how that works? You know what? I kept writing it in when crayon on the screen, but it never seemed to stick. Oh, this will be so much fun sniping you. Wait a minute, where are we at? So you go, do I click on the compose? I guess that means make an email, huh?
Yeah. All right. I gotta admit, with the Xbox, I have been using it lately, but just to watch Netflix.
Netflix.
And they have HBO Go on there now too, so that's good. But I like using the Kinects just to, shout commands out to it. Xbox, apps, Netflix.
I yell at mine, but it doesn't do anything because I don't have the Kinect. Piece of shit, die!
It blows up. Red ring of death.
I am not dead.
I'm on my third Xbox.
Yeah.
I still have the original 2 that I bought from 3 years ago.
Wow. Actually use mine.
Do you hear the new ones? The new one's going to be coming out soon. The Xbox 720.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it's going to have that's different. Probably...
Well, you know what the big rumor is on the next PlayStation and the next Xbox?
What's that?
It's going to be the inability to play used games.
Yes. And GameStop already told Sony that if they do that, then they're just not going to sell PlayStations anymore.
Really?
I think that's going to deter Sony, though.
It might. I mean,
I think both Microsoft and Sony, I think they despise GameStop.
They probably do, but they get a lot of business. Every time I go past a GameStop, it's usually filled with pimply faced 13-year-olds.
Yeah, it's because they're buying used
old fat guys,
and they're quite honestly, if you wanted to get an Xbox now rather than buying a brand new one, you're better off going to GameStop and buying a used Xbox because the warranty on it is better than the manufacturer's.
Right.
Because they say that you buy a used Xbox from them, and if it dies within a certain period of time, they'll give you a replacement, no questions asked.
Right.
If it red rings on you, they'll just swap it out.
They just give you another one. Here you go. Take off your hard drive and other stuff and just, you know, just swap it and good to go.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah, because I'm afraid that's what's going to happen with the Xbox 720, too, because it's Microsoft. We always forget that. It's kind of like it's a good thing.
This time it's not just Microsoft, though, because Sony's in the same boat. Yeah. Sony's already designing the same thing for the replacement for the PS3.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of used games because they can't make any money off of it.
I bet you they get rid of discs, too, and you just download the games, and therefore cutting out GameStop altogether.
Yeah. Well, you cut out GameStop just by eliminating used games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can go buy games at Walmart or Best Buy. You know, you don't need GameStop at that point. But the only thing that GameStop is good for is used games.
Yeah, but, you know.
But used games is a big, big chunk. Like, you know, if you don't mind waiting.
I tend to buy. There's very, very rarely a game that I want to play bad enough that I'll pay full $60 price for.
Exactly.
Right.
It's new to me.
You know, it's you know, a lot of times some 14-year-old kid, you know, gets, you know, pick a game, Modern Warfare 3 for Christmas. He beats it by New Year's, and he's done with it. He'll hold on to it till March, and then he sells it. You know, and you get it for half the price. I don't mind waiting.
Yeah, you just lost here. Michael. Okay. Continue. I'm going to try to call Michael. We lost him.
Oh, my gosh.
Here he is. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, EA Sports has been trying to come up with a way to keep their games from being able to be played as used. And I've already vowed, if they ever come out with a new version of Madden or NHL that you can't play used, I will never buy another EA Sports game again or any EA game again.
Well, it's coming. I mean, discs, I think, are going to disappear, and we're going to be just downloading everything. Yeah. And you figure, you know, Microsoft and those guys, hey, we'll cut out the middle guys completely. We don't even have to pay Walmart. You know, we can just sell the games for $50 and make pure profit on it. And we don't have to produce discs or anything.
Yeah, well, Microsoft is only just one company, though. Most of the games are done by third parties.
That's true.
All the good ones.
Well, you know, iTunes or the app stores. They're all going to go to, Apple app stores.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, I could see that happening real quick.
Well, as long as the price drops in the process, it wouldn't be so bad. You know, because look at app prices at the App Store, you know, compared to going and buying it in a box on a shelf, you know?
Even when they introduced Apple introduced the App Store for the MacBooks and, you know, iMacs and everything, they did drop the price. You know, you're not getting this DVD anymore with the program on it. But, you know, all the apps significantly, their price significantly dropped.
So. That idea, get you buried.
Yeah. Can you tell? Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. That was interesting. As Barty was talking about, if your Xbox ever dies, and right then and there, just everything dropped.
Yeah, the rest of that conversation you didn't hear was that rather than replacing your Xbox but by buying another brand new one, it's usually a better deal to go buy a used one from GameStop because they get a better warranty. They'll just replace it with another used one.
Yeah, we've bought and it's used PlayStation 2s from them for that reason.
Yeah, the Xbox, $100. If you want just the box without the hard drive and the controllers, you can get a used Xbox for $100.
Yeah. Wow. And if it dies within a certain period of time, they'll give you just a replacement, no questions asked.
That's not bad.
Kind of hard to beat that. Microsoft won't do that.
Nope.
When my first two Xboxes died, I had to send them out and pay a lot of money to have them replaced.
Mm. Well, I ended up I bought mine at Target. Now I paid full price. It was on sale after Christmas, but I went to Target and I got the Target deal for whatchamacallit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That thing.
The no matter what replacement policy?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
I've got one of those from Walmart.
But you have to pay extra for that, right?
Yeah, you do.
I did, yes.
But it was 3 years, three-year policy on our Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah. So. With GameStop, it's included in the price.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's $100 and we'll replace it if it dies within a certain period of time.
I went to GameStop first, but unfortunately it was like a week after Christmas and there were none to be had.
Yeah. Not surprising. You got the nice one though. You got the Slim, that black one. It's real super quiet. I have to say that just hearing how quiet yours runs compared to the two that I have, I'm actually thinking to myself, you know what? I get so sick and tired of hearing mine spin up. Hmm. And I swear, I'm waiting to see it vibrate across the floor. It chases the cats.
Yeah, well, nice thing. I have the same one now that you're talking about. I have the Elite now, but or whatever that Slimline one is. Hmm. But the two I had before that were both very, very noisy, and they both red-ringed on me. Hmm. But when the second one red-winged, I didn't even bother trying to get it repaired because, you know, you're spending half the price of a new one to do it. So I just kind of threw it away. Said, "Screw this piece of crap," and just went out and replaced it.
Yeah. The nice thing about the 360 one is because it's so quiet. Again, I use it to watch a lot of movies and TV shows from Netflix and HBO.
Well, you know, interesting. I bought the PS3 before I'd ever bought an Xbox, and that same PS3 is still working, and it was quiet from day one.
Really?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and I play that probably just as much, and sometimes I even play it more than I do the Xbox. The Xbox I use primarily to play online with my son and grandson, and the rest of the games that I play solo, I tend to play on the PS3 because I like it better.
Yeah.
It's a classier box. It's quieter, especially in the beginning. You know, this new Xbox is pretty quiet, but the first two I had were like noisy as hell, and it was like, geez, man, you have to turn the volume up on the damn stereo to really loud.
Absolutely. I had a buddy of mine who's did that, you know, that did the red ring, the older white ones like I have, and once I took it all apart and reflowed the BGA on there, it worked fine, which is typically what they end up doing anyway. Mm. But it's a problem with the microprocessor chip. You got to reflow it and resolder it to the board, but which fixes the problem.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this year when I finally hooked it up via the HDMI cable, oh my god, what a difference that made! Not only the picture quality was way better on the TV set, but you know, the 5.1 surround sound in those games, it was like, oh god, this is awesome.
Yeah, that's the only way I've ever played it.
Because
I've got a separate stereo system
just
for my game machines, and that's the way I usually play it.
Well, I've just, you know, I've got the home theater box, so I plug that, you know, the HDMI goes to the home theater box, and then only one cable goes up to the TV now. So.
Yeah, that's the way I have it.
Yeah.
But I've got cables going from the an Apple TV, the PS3, the Xbox, my DirecTV box, all going to my AV receiver,
and
going to the TV, and then it goes out to all my speakers.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well,
I've got 6 speakers hooked up to it.
Sweet.
Well, I got a center, and I got the subwoofer, and then I've got 2 in the front and 2 in the back.
Yeah, so, I have a 5.1 system.
But when my wife's not around, I play that. I play games really freaking loud, and I tell you what, the realism factor goes up pretty high. Because you can hear like sounds like off in all different directions and things. It's pretty freaky.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. She's on the other side of the house, upstairs in the bedroom with the door closed, and it's really the bass that rattles the whole house. That
yeah, like I said, I wait until my wife goes shopping, because there are times that she doesn't want me around when she goes shopping because I'm aggravating to be with in stores.
Really?
So, you know, she leaves me home, and so I figure, I think I'll just play some games.
I think I've told you guys how about every 6 months my wife decides to take me grocery shopping. And and you know, I don't mind. If you want me to go grocery shopping, okay, here's a list. In, grab the stuff, out, 20 minutes. Okay?
Yeah, that's what I like to do.
She likes to go in, go stroll up and down every aisle, look at everything, pull things up, look at the and read the labels and everything and put it back and then pick up the thing that we buy every week and put it in the shopping cart. And we do that in an hour and a half, you know, in the grocery store. Oh, look at that. Yeah, you looked at it last week. Yeah. No, look, this has got a new label on it. You know? My way of getting out of it, I only have to do this twice a year when she forgets, because women, for some reason, their brain loops about every 6 months, I think. I go in and I
act, good thing Amory doesn't listen to this podcast.
I know. I go in and I act like a 3-year-old. I push the cart. I get control of the cart. So I keep the cart moving at a steady pace while she's trying to look at something. And I'll even make noises like, the cart's moving. And I'll go, oh, look at this. And I'll just start putting stuff in that we don't usually buy into the cart, like, you know, 5 different types of cookies, you know, potato chips and everything. She's busy pulling them all back and putting them back on the shelf. And finally she just says, go sit out in the car. Wait for me. And I'm like, okay.
He goes out in the car, pops up his iPad.
Yep. And I'm happy. And then she says, no, you're not going with shopping with me again for at least another 6 months. Works every time.
I'm going to jump in here.
Listeners of the show want an email. What email should they send to Barry?
What's that?
If listeners of the show have comments that they want to send,
well,
especially like angry women listeners.
Oh. Well, there's actually, I believe there's a feedback at qrmstudios.com. Or you can let me see. Did I make one for you, Barty? I think. I know I have a BarryJ@LateNightQRM.com. There is a Michael@LateNightQRM.com.
Really?
I'll have to show you how to get into it.
If you're waiting for comments out there, folks, I'll get to you as soon as I know how to get in my email account.
There's a Jash@LateNightQRM.com, and I believe I made a Barty@LateNightQRM.com, but I will double-check that and make sure. Because
what is your email address?
My email address
is jchrist.
It's BarryJ@LateNightQRM.com.
So, ladies, if you have any comments to say about Barry's shopping theories, you know the address now.
It works every time, guys. I tell you.
I do have a quick shopping story.
Okay.
First of all, my wife hates to shop. I mean, unless it, back when we had the farm, I don't know if you have them out east, but we had like Fleet Farm. And Farm and Fleet, which is, you know, similar to Tractor Supply, but on steroids.
Okay.
That she didn't mind going to, but locally, I mean, we make our trip to town. The nearest grocery store is almost a 2-hour round trip from here. But other than our local general store, which we try to frequent as much as possible because we really appreciate the fact that they're, you know, supporting us out here in the middle of nowhere. But so we do go down the Wally World, and you see everybody else from the peninsula at Wally World, too. But I've come to notice Walmart seem to have a wide discretion on pricing at each individual market. I just happened to notice this because when our boys were infants and we had to get, you know, necessary supplies for babies, I noticed there was a big price difference between the Walmart near our farm in Wisconsin, which was near a Yuppieville-type location, versus this one out here. So I don't take any of the pricing for granted. And the one thing I've noticed at this store, and my wife didn't believe me, maybe she did, but she never thought to check it, is that a lot of the things that we buy are cheaper in smaller packages than the big ones. If you do the math on the price per item, if you buy the economy box, it's more per item than it is to buy the smaller box.
Really?
Yep.
Consistently. Huh. People are going to this Walmart just buying the big boxes thinking they're saving money. And we keep buying the smaller boxes of everything because I finally just go there with it. You know, whip out my iPhone and I start doing the calculation price per item. It's like, yep, we buy the small box in this one. We buy the small box in this one. We buy the small box in this one.
Does Walmart show the unit price?
Like, not in this state. Some states require it.
Well, grocery stores, I know, do unit pricing.
No, I don't think I even see that here. It seems to be a state-by-state thing.
Wow. Huh, I'm going to have to look at that next time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So instead of buying the giant case of ammunition at Walmart, I'll buy the little individual boxes of ammunition.
Could be. Could be.
All right, guys. Well, there's one more line, one more topic here, and it's yours, Michael.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, while we were doing the spring cleaning, I'm in the basement of the house there, and I'm looking, geez, you know, I've got this nice big pedal boat. Haven't had it out in years, and the reason why is it's a nice boat. It seats four, but whoever figures out the distance between the seat and the pedals must have been pretty short, and they're not adjustable. You know, you get in that thing, and you just destroy your knees trying to pedal this thing. So between looking at that pedal boat in the basement and starting to clean in the garage, and then look at my electric trolling motor in the garage and think about the pedal boat in the basement, and he's like, you know, pull the pedals out, pull the shaft out where the rudder is, put the trolling motor through that shaft and connect that remote control for steering to that, this ought to be a pretty, you know, pleasant thing to go bopping around the lake on.
Huh.
So that's my spring project. I've got a small aluminum fishing boat that I think I've talked to you guys about. It's a 1959 aluminum craft, which is ideal for it because it's and even more holy cow how I got that thing. I traded in an industrial IBM PC for it.
Really?
A 4.77 megahertz 8086 machine.
Oh, jeez.
But it was an industrial one, you know.
You got the better end of
that. The industrial one with the two full-size
floppy drives.
Well, yeah, but it had that, but it was being industrial, it's one with the passive backplane where you could swap out cards.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever seen one of those or not, but they've had industrial ones forever. So the guy who had it, or that wanted my machine, needed to be able to swap out CNC controllers. So he had a need for it, and he had this 1959 aluminum craft, and that's, you know, back then the aluminum in those things is just really thick, which is perfect for up here because we got rock shores.
Right, right.
And he included, it was the boat and an outboard.
Wow.
So eventually the outboard bit the dust, but that was more had to do with a friend of mine that borrowed it one day. Well, I won't go into that story. But that outboard was replaced with a Johnson Lowboy 7.5 horse. And this is only a 12, maybe a 14-foot boat. But what's ideal about it is it actually has a front cowl on it with a full remote steering transmission, you know, the whole controls up front on it, even though it's a small boat. So if you're just fishing in this thing, you can float in about 6 inches of water. And that Johnson, I mean, I had the trolling motor, but this Johnson idles down so low, you can actually just kind of putz around in that thing. So I don't put the electric motor on the fishing boat anymore. So yeah, I'm going to do a full conversion with the boys. Nice summer project or spring project with my sons, and we're going to refit this pedal boat out to be a little electric boat.
And, that sounds pretty cool.
It's going to be fun. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, with that, we do have a musical guest tonight. It's Doug Estrup and his song "Long Goodbyes." So we'll say goodbye, and I'm going to point out all the troops again out there overseas and here back home. Keep up the good work. Stay cool. And we, especially the ones overseas, we hope we see you back here real soon.
Yeah, get home safe.
So,
definitely.
With that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
I am Josh.
And this is Barty from Central New York.
And I'm Michael, the virtual Uper from the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
And we'll see you next week. And Josh, don't forget, Xbox game next Saturday.
You got it.
Okay.
I already sent Michael my email.
Cool.
Okay. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Samson, speak. Good boy.